Hello, I am your host, Teresa Lundy, and welcome to the Business Corner. On this show, we discuss leadership, economic development, finance, and business topics. Today, I will be speaking with Melina Harris, Page DEI Data Analyst at the Economy League. The Economy League is working to help minority businesses secure millions of dollars in new contracts with Philadelphia's anchor institutions. Mel, thank you for joining us on the Business Corner.
Thank you, Teresa.
So I know you work for the Economy League, mm-hmm. and I know some of the great works that you guys are doing to support small businesses. So tell the listening audience what you do at the Economy League and what do you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Economy League is a 119-year-old think and do tank. They've been around for ages, but more recently started to move their efforts into inclusive growth for the city of Philadelphia as a whole. So we actually have four programs at the Economy League. They range the gamut from bringing leaders across sectors together to discuss solutions to hairy problems, to supporting seed stage ideas and giving local community members the opportunity to develop ideas into a prototype, to PAGE, which stands for Philadelphia Anchors for Growth and Equity. That's the initiative that I work for. And we are specifically focused on diversifying supply chains within the anchor economy. So anchors are the eds and meds of this region, the hospitals and universities that are large employers in the region that buy millions of dollars worth of goods and services each year and have a significant impact on the community in that sense. Currently, they are buying a lot of those goods and services from white-owned companies that aren't local to the region. And so about 4 years ago when PAGE got started, there was an opportunity for the city and these anchors and the Economy League to all work together and say, hey, how do we support the minority business community in Philly, drive up tax revenue for the city, mm-hmm. and allow the anchors to have a more localized supply chain? So at PAGE, we like to think of it as driving up demand, but also enhancing supply. A lot of the folks at these anchor institutions want to do this work. They want to see more diversity in their supply chains, but they also are struggling to find the businesses that can meet their demand, that can meet that capacity. So we try to work on both sides of the market and just kind of matchmake through opportunities and then also working to match our businesses with training opportunities and access to capital to make sure that they can capitalize on the contract opportunities when they come about.
Well, I love that. And I think, you know, as we talk about like what the corporation side of things could look like to helping the smaller brick and mortar businesses or the consulting businesses really increase and grow. Mm-hmm. I think part of that is how do we make sure that some of the contractual opportunities exist. Mm-hmm. So what do you think in terms of like the Economy League's current partnerships, how do we make sure that small businesses are able to grow with some of those anchor partners that you have?
Yeah, so there's so many ways to answer this question. I think about it, there's sort of three angles that I'm thinking about the most. The first would be really understanding how these decisions are made within these large institutions. PAGE is one of the organizations that is trying to figure that out. Mm. It's not as simple as there is one person or even one department within, say, Temple that decides exactly who they buy all of these things from. So you have real estate, you have the food for the cafeterias, you have all the supplies for the hospitals and the medical institutions and the labs, you have the tax accountants and the legal services. There's so many different things. So the buying centers within these institutions are decentralized, much like the colleges or the buildings. Everyone is making a different decision and they're all at different levels. So first of all, we need sort of oversight and coordination within and between these organizations so that there's really a centralized place where a minority or a diverse business that wants to work with an institution can go and not just get on a list that's going to sit somewhere on a computer, but actually meet someone who is that decision maker, who will get to know them and work with that business to bring them in. We also need access to capital. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing that I'm most passionate about and that I work on at the Economy League or with PAGE. A lot of these businesses have the ability to work on these larger contracts in that, you know, their operations are up to scale. They've taken on contracts of that size perhaps before, and they've done really well. But then when an opportunity comes down the pipeline, there might be a really specific requirement that an institution has, especially if you're a hospital or a large nonprofit educational institution. Some sort of certification might be necessary for the minority business to do business with that institution. And then in addition to that, because a lot of these contracts are larger, they need to have the capital to purchase the inventory and hire the additional labor that they might need to meet that contract. So making sure that we have partnerships between local lending institutions and these anchors and organizations like ours is key. Right now, we're working on trying to develop products that account for the decrease in risk of lending to a business that's up for a contract. If you know that the business you're lending to as the bank is going to be taking in a large amount of revenue over the next 2 years, that's actually a lower risk on you to be able to lend that money to that business. So we would like to see more coordination between different organizations and institutions in the city to really capitalize on that knowledge and that coordination.
I have to say, I really do love the mission of Page. And I was telling you earlier, and essentially why we are here on this couch is because I learned about some of the programs that you guys have. Mm-hmm. And so part of that programming, you know, what you really already hit on was that, how do we make sure, like, if you get the contract, we don't want you to fret on how to get the capital.
Exactly.
And so that's exactly what you guys did for our organization, right? Was to, hey, you know, I know you got the contract, it's there, right? But now we just need some support to make sure we can cover the insurances.
Exactly.
Right? And that was a huge gap for us, because we would have had to wait, you know, 30, 60 days to pay for it, right? And the company, in order to start the contract, starts immediately, right, like in the next week.
Exactly.
And so I think, you know, when you talk about eliminating barriers, that also kind of goes into the DEI. And I know that is one thing that you do specialize in. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. And I also just wanted to add, in terms of those barriers, it's not just externally, what is the business doing or what resources do they have to be able to take advantage of that opportunity? But also the other piece of our work at Page is working on policies within institutions.
Right.
And there are some incredible leaders in this city, like Independence Blue Cross and UPenn, that have made policy changes internally, like having net zero payment terms for diverse businesses. Which allows those businesses then to more immediately start that work because they're getting the capital upfront to be able to carry it out. So we love being able to share the work that leaders in this space are doing with the other anchors, or make suggestions on our own and come up with other creative solutions. Yeah, so I was initially hired as the DEI data analyst for the Economy League. And so what that meant was that I would be collecting spend data from each of these institutions and measuring what the percentages were in terms of dollars spent with diverse local businesses, number of contracts, number of businesses in proportion to the full number of businesses they were working with that were diverse and local. I have learned so much about data since starting a year ago. Good. It's incredibly hard to collect, and it's incredibly hard to wrangle and clean. We're really fortunate to work with another diverse woman-owned business called Stimulus. They're an incredible platform for—
That's Tiffany Standard, right?
Exactly.
I love her. Yes. She's doing great work.
She's amazing. Yeah, such a powerhouse. And they have a platform specifically for procurement professionals who are looking to diversify their supply chains to be able to, almost like a sales force, kind of see the full scope of who's out there, compare different businesses to each other, learn about their past experience, and then manage projects that they're working on, all within the platform. And so Tiffany's team has been really helpful in requesting that data from the anchors and then doing that initial wrangling and cleaning, because all these institutions use completely different software systems to track what they're doing. And sometimes not even one software system. It will be one program that manages all of the spend and the money and the payments, and then another one that tracks diversity. And they might only measure if a business is actually certified as a diverse-owned business. Right. versus if the business self-identifies as diverse. And they'll have different language. You know, even at Page, we're moving away from calling these businesses minority businesses, because the truth is that Black and Hispanic people are not the minority of the city. Correct. We are the majority.
Right.
So it's sort of a misnomer.
Gets me every time.
Exactly. But how do you define diverse? Right. Some people include small businesses in that. Mm-hmm. Some people include white women in that. It's really difficult to measure these things when everyone's using different terminology. And it's also interesting, you know, as someone who has been seeped in all of this for a very long time, I don't feel uncomfortable or awkward discussing these terms, but I'm learning that people are having a hard time, even in this post George Floyd and Black Lives Matter era, even acknowledging what they're really saying and being really clear about their language. So, needless to say, the data piece is really difficult. We have had some anchors that have submitted data. We've also had some that have not. And, you know, I think a lot of times that's not necessarily a choice that's made in in denial or mean-spiritedness. It's just
the way you communicate. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because when we talk about data collection, right, it really does take a keen eye to, one, you have to understand the industries, you understand the businesses and the individual. And so, you know, for you to, in an economy like Economy Lee as a whole, to even want to outsource, you know, like that component, like I do know like Stimulus Platform does do great work. And so for us, even at the, like when they develop these reports, I've been privy to kind of like looking into it and diving in and saying, okay, so where are the holes? Where's the gaps? And then, you know, kind of going back to, you know, what the posts, pandemic looked like, but also George Floyd in the midst of the civil unrest, it made a lot of companies and corporations absolutely uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But it gave communication firms like ours an opportunity to kind of help them rebuild their messaging and to be a little bit more purposeful on how the data that they are putting out is not only sound, but it's also part of their overall strategic planning.
Right.
I actually sit on the board of directors for a few, but one in particular, not going to mention the name right now, but they are so interested in making sure that the landscape, the customer that they are serving is the priority.
Yeah.
Right. And I think more organizations are thinking that way as they feel like, you know, how do I make sure that this space is really sound and going in the right direction? So definitely appreciate the work that you guys are doing.
Yeah.
I did hear there was a summit that Paige had. So tell me a little bit about that. And is there one happening this year?
Yeah, I'm happy to talk about that. And also this connects back to the data conversation. So we had our annual Page Summit in February. The next one will be next February. Okay. That was an amazing event. It was just so beautiful to see all of our supporters come out. We had so many folks from the anchor institutions that we work with, board members, financial institutions that have supported us, foundations. There were many of the diverse businesses that we work with there. Desserts by Dana's, a favorite local business of ours. And he had his gorgeous cake mini dessert tray out, and it was just a wonderful event, and we had some really cool conversations with a lot of different intellectually diverse people. But most recently we had the Page 100 launch, and so going back to the data piece, it's incredibly important that the anchors that are committed to Page submit their data. It's also important that we really acknowledge and talk about how we're defining these terms, so that my organization and me in particular can organize that data and aggregate it in a way that's meaningful, so that we can actually start to measure benchmarks, progress, and goals.
Love that.
Secondly, I've been thinking a lot, and our organization has been thinking a lot about how data in itself is a somewhat extractive process. You know, we talked a little bit before recording that often we're asking these businesses to submit so much information and not really giving them anything in return. And in the case of this data measurement that we've been doing, we're not getting any of this information from the businesses. We're getting it from the anchors, but it's really just measuring revenue and spend with these institutions. We're not actually learning about, is that enhancing the business? Is that growing the business? Do these businesses feel like they are doing the things that they want to do? And how are they defining success for themselves?
Right.
So the Page 100 is really going to be a database and a cohort of ideally 100 businesses that will build up over the next year or two that are willing and ready to support us with that information, both quantitative and qualitative reporting. Mm. And we want to give them something in return. So we want this to be a mutual process, and we want to hear how they define their success and learn from them what sorts of impact they want to see for their businesses and their communities, and take the lead on how to then measure impact instead of talking about these businesses and over their heads as if they're not the exact community that we're trying to support.
I love that.
You know, so taking leadership from them and also acknowledging that it is labor for them to provide this impact tracking for us. And how can we return that through grant programs, through incentives, and through the other kinds of free support that Page can provide.
Well, I definitely want to be on that list.
Absolutely. You're on it.
I want to be on that list, but also want to share it. And I think when we talk about the give back, mm-hmm. right, you know, Page does do a lot. And I think it is up to small businesses to also do as much in the space that they have. Mm. So I want you to think about, there's a quote that everybody always says, right? Small businesses are the backbone of the economy.
100%.
What exactly does that mean to you?
Yeah. So actually, before this, I was an underwriter for small business loans for 5 to 6 years at a private online lender, one of these lenders that came about after the 2008 crash. All the banks stopped lending. And that placed another huge halt on the economy.
Yeah.
Small businesses are the businesses that create jobs. All of the data points to this. If you look at where wealth is being created in communities, it's coming from the small businesses. It's on the backs of these small businesses. Mm-hmm. And then that wealth is often extracted by large corporations that are outsourcing labor, outsourcing manufacturing, and purchasing real estate and property and driving up costs in places where no one from that business actually lives, and it's harming the communities. Small businesses stay rooted in the places where they are. They provide jobs for their communities, and they really, you know, create the fabric of life. When you walk down the street and you know the person that owns that shop, or you see a friendly face of someone hanging out outside of their barbershop or their restaurant, that's what makes me feel alive. That's what makes me fall in love with a city like Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So I really want to see small businesses better supported. And I really respect what you guys are doing here. I mean, just even having us on this podcast gives us so much support to get the word out about our work. And we wouldn't be anything without all of the small businesses that have supported us, like Tiffany. Well, you know, mm-hmm. that's quickly growing. And I wouldn't even say you're a small business anymore either. But it's really magical what that community can do when we all work together.
Well, I love that. And I know our audience absolutely love this conversation as much as I did. So thank you so much for joining the Business Corner.
Thank you so much, Teresa. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning into the Business Corner. We hope you enjoyed the conversation. For more episodes, please visit our website at tmlcommunications.com or on our YouTube page, youtube.com/tmlcommunications.